Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman. And today I am really grateful to have the opportunity to have a conversation with Dr. Carl Johan Kalman, who is a man of truly a Renaissance man. He was born in Stockholm, Sweden in 1950, and his scholarly career began as a physical biologist, where he received his PhD under the mentorship of a Nobel Committee member, and then became a senior researcher at the University of Washington, in which he studied how our human body was affected by environmental toxins, etc., and cancer. So, but the amazing part that really grabbed me was when I actually met you. You might not know this at the Gathering for Humanity that Grandmother Flor de Mayo put together.
Yeah.
And in fact, I sat right in front of you when there was a conversation happening, and she introduced you in the crowd, which was amazing. So, I would love to begin. First of all, thank you for taking the time to be with us. And what is so intriguing to me is, although you've written many books, the book that I would really like to hone in on, if you don't mind, is The Nine Waves of Creation, Quantum Physics, the Holographic Evolution, and the Destiny of Humanity. Especially now, as we are in this global pandemic, this global change, this global evolution, and some revolution, but sometimes that's how evolution happens, is through revolution. Is I would love to have your thought about how this relates to the Mayan cosmology and where you see us going from here.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Big questions.
big questions. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, first of all, I should say it was a wonderful event 2 years ago, I think, that Grandmother Flor de Mayo had put on. And she really brings a very good Mayan and grandmotherly energy to the world, I would say. And in those days, things were actually a little bit calmer in the world, even if it was just 2 or 3 years ago. The world has kind of irreversibly changed since then, I would say.
Yes.
And the answer, I think, is very much in the kind of cosmology that the Maya left behind, or at least how I have interpreted it through my studies. And that cosmology, I have to say a few words about that before we even can start to talk about what may be happening in the world today.
Please.
So
please.
Basically, it is not like the human beings are creating everything based on what they desire or so forth. Our egos are not planted in our minds. And the world changes, it's not something just of the human making. It's something that comes from the kind of waves of information that we download from the cosmic center. And the cosmic center then, which by the ancient Maya were talked about as the place of creation, or another word that they would use would be the raised up sky place. And raised up sky place, sky here really means like a projection. So they looked upon the evolution of the universe as being guided by big projections that were made in this center of the universe. And then we, the human beings, which are the small actors in this huge scheme, we download these projections. And based on what these projections look like, we will create the world in accordance with them. So already here we have something that's very different from what the average person would probably think about the world as today. The thing is, however, that it fits perfectly with the history of the universe. It's just that Most people have never looked upon reality in this way, and one of the things that is clear about this is that these are waves, serpents. Ancient peoples looked upon serpents as the big creator gods. Not only the Maya with their plumed serpent provided an understanding based on the serpents as the creators. The Chinese, they had their serpentine dragons, and the Australian Aborigines, they had the rainbow serpent, etc., etc. And what that implied was that things would not always stay the same. Things would move in a wave-like fashion in accordance with what the projections looked like that these various waves were carrying. And you might say that what also should be added is that the Maya had some kind of information about what did these projections look like. And you might talk about them as certain geometries and certain polarities, yin-yang polarities that were downloaded by the human beings. And it's also not just one wave. It's not just one serpent, as they would have said. I say, because I'm a modern scientist, I use the word wave or quantum wave rather than serpent. But we're talking about the same things.
Exactly.
But they looked upon reality as a quantum phenomenon. So their pyramids were built in 9 levels. And each, to get from one level to another, you would take a quantum step or a mm-hmm. quantum leap.
Yes.
And that would then be sort of made possible by a new projection being done from the center of the universe. And as those projections would change, new possibilities would come, and you can see a sort of a plan for the evolution of the universe going from the bottom level of these pyramids to the top level. And the number 9 here is another thing that really was spread in ancient times all over the world. I mean, I know from my own ancestors in Scandinavia among the Vikings, they talked about 9 worlds. So they were all connected to the tree of life, but there were 9 different worlds, clearly so. And same then was Maya, and then you have here from the Hopi, 9 universes. The Aztecs talked about 9 underworlds. And so there was the idea that there were 9 levels, and it was widespread in ancient times, but has been forgotten as so many other parts of this ancient cosmology that wasn't identical if you look at different cultures in the world, but it had certain traits that they all did have in common. And those traits are things that I have highlighted in my most 3 recent books and developed to make us see that maybe, you know, if we consider this as our reality, we will be a little bit better equipped to understand what is going on.
You know,
okay.
Dr. Kalman,
yes.
May I just interrupt you one second? I think that you had mentioned, you know, that we had forgotten this, but I also think that we have to remember that things have been intentionally subverted. So, for instance, you know, the realization of the meaning of the serpent. You know, religion made it, instead of being something
yes.
that was really raised up, it was vilified. And so many things, the polarities, you know, the American Medical Association took the caduceus and you know, that symbol, which is so misunderstood by people in medicine, the way energy moves in the human body. So,
yeah.
You know, it's really layers upon layers of information that has diverted the original meaning so that we become ignorant to it.
Yeah, that's a very good point. But I should point out that it's essentially the Jewish Christian tradition that has
exactly.
vilified the serpent. Other cultures didn't do that, as far as we know. But
right.
that means that we as part of a Western culture have inherited that suppression, and that is very, very consequential. And the Jewish Christian tradition has then really put the emphasis on the individual life as if it was just something that the individual, based on his or her moral considerations, were designing totally by him or herself.
Which is
not really the case, I believe anyway. And you're making a good point here that also these serpents, they were part of the energy system of our body as we had downloaded them, and then they played a role in how we, even our perception of the world and so forth.
That's right.
But to come back to your original question, what one of the clearest things that happened in the shift in the year 2011, which is only about 10 years ago, is that the projection that had been going out to the world for about 400 years was one that favored the West. And you might say Western dominance was favored by that particular projection.
Yes.
And then what happened in 2011 is that dominance went out, a new projection. And they would have names to this in the Mayan culture. They would, the serpent would go up and down, but when it was in the up state, then they would talk about Quetzalcoatl as bringing the light, so to speak. And then it would shift to Tezcatlipoca. It was like a dark filter came over this. And this... this, I think, has impacted things because it's a global crisis, you might say, and that's because I would say the whole world through the past 400 years were essentially linked to a Western system of thinking and so forth, but it's really the West that is really hardest or most markedly affected by this particular shift, and we have seen this, and in a sense, you know, there are good things coming out of this, because, you know, in this time frame, and this is something that will be going on for a long time, in this time frame, you know, suddenly emanating from the West, and in particular from the United States, then, have been not only a strong women's movement, but now also a strong black movement, that both are sort of saying no to this dominance in our country, so to speak, and then that's really just an aspect of the end to this dominance in the world. So it's not going to be anything linear, this process. It's not going to be everything goes is simply and easy to identify whatever manifestations you have of this shift. Things will be convoluted. Things will go in meandering roads and so forth. But I don't think it will be very easy to simply ignore that this shift has taken place. And it will, it's also a funny coincidence, you might say, that it is really the West. If you look at a map and sort of draw a line through the center of Europe, and then you will find that it's a tremendously much more effect of the coronavirus in the Western Hemisphere compared to the Eastern Hemisphere. And it's like 100 times more deaths per million in the United States compared to China. And of course, there is a million different kinds of explanations and all kinds of conspiracy theories out there. But for the time being, just notice that this is the case. And And you know, you mentioned the Kundalini the Caduceus.
Yes.
Caduceus, and that sort of tells us a little bit that there is an effect on by the waves also on our body, and
yes.
The body is not just a physical thing. It's an interference between mental, spiritual, physical aspects of ourselves, and so. Well, I don't think this perspective can be ignored.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Because what I think is so important is, and I'm very intrigued by the fact that you brought out that, you know, we have gone through golden ages and what we would classify as dark ages, you know, and moving back into golden ages in this cyclical serpentine wave of which you speak.
Yeah.
And, you know, what we have to understand is all of those things that have been intentionally degraded for whatever reason, you know, African-Americans, women, et cetera, they're rising back up to say, no, we stand on the horizon with you. We stand on equal footing with you.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
So even if there are sort of, as I said, this is not going to be a linear change in the United States or the world. Even if it's not going to be a linear change and there will be reactions to it and so forth, this is something that's happening on a very fundamental cosmic level. And in the end, this is the direction I believe things will be playing out.
Well, I think that's very interesting because what's happening is when, as you said, it's not going to be linear, because when people begin to understand that they have been misguided, or the truth has been cloaked in a whole other story. When someone begins to have this realization that they have been not intentionally misdirected, when they have intentionally been misdirected, then first of all, there's anger.
Yeah.
And then there's the opportunity for pause, and then there's the opportunity for learning.
Yes. Exactly.
And that's essential. So that in itself is a wave.
It is. Yes. It's a process with steps. Yeah.
So where do you see us, Dr. Coleman, where do you see us going from here? Because what really intrigues me about your work is I have, since 2002, I have been teaching what's called sacred geometry and energy medicine.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I, having been shown this for about 3 years before I taught another person, because I really wanted to understand what is this geometry that is a part of the entire cosmos, not just something that is particular to us as humans, but we're connected to this entire matrix.
Right.
As is the cosmology you're speaking of, as the holograph that you're speaking of.
Yeah.
So how do you see this change? Do you see it quickening as you mentioned it? Because I have read some of your books, you know, as we're in the ninth wave, it's quickening.
Yeah, the ninth wave is a quickening thing, but it's really another aspect of the cosmology that we're being changed to at the current time than the one I was just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, it would be wonderful to talk about sacred geometry for several hours.
Perhaps we can do that at another time.
But I do want to say that the sacred geometry, as I see it, are macrocosmic quantum states.
Yes.
On the microcosmic level, then quantum states are basically geometries. That's really what the Schrödinger equation tells us, that each state is governed by a particular geometry. But then there are several different of these different quantum states, and they add up to create a composite reality. And that's true also for us. So when I talked about the West going out, or the dominance of the West, which is a completely different thing, but still the dominance of the West going out, then I was just referring to one of these waves, which is the sixth wave. Mm-hmm. And the ninth wave is the one that was activated in the year 2011. And That is, there are many waves, and here we can't go into any kind of detail about what they will, what kind of influences they will carry. But I believe that the ninth wave is crucial for our future, because it's really a wave that brings a quantum state of non-duality, of taking away the veils, making people sort of in a direct, uninterrupted or unshielded contact to this cosmic source. And to the extent that people start to download this, and I think even if it's been become accessible about 10 years ago, very few people still have taken the steps to actually integrate them, this wave, in their waves of being. And it's, you know, in contrast to the sixth wave that I talked about earlier, that actually was a dualistic wave and then fostered all kinds of dominance in human relations, whether on a global scale or within on a racial scale or a gender scale or any kind of scale for that matter. Mm-hmm. The ninth wave does not foster that. It doesn't open to that. And it opens to, instead, the human beings being in a communal level, you might say, doesn't project darkness onto anybody else. But this ninth wave, all the waves are generated by quantum shifts, and that means that humans have to accesses through a quantum shift again. And it's really also here, it is, you know, I had this event a week ago with Patricia Albert, who mm-hmm. has developed a practices for people to access this particular wave. And it's really, in a sense, it is about giving up some of our individuality and letting us be guided by this common, non-separating wave that is now accessible. Mm. And we will probably not come there just by asking the question, what's in it for me? You know, that's a standard question that most of us ask for whatever we're faced with. Because this is not really about me in a separate sense, so to speak, what's in it for me as a separate individual. It is about going beyond that. And so, you know, I would refer anyone further interested in this to either find that it's still free, available, that recording that was made at our events, or you will find other ways of continuing this on my website, kalleman.com, or so there are ways there to do this. But I, you know, I really think that there will have to be a shift in consciousness for us to sort of transcend the dualities. In other words, you know, the risk, there are many risks at the current time, but one risk is that people are just seeing fight and conflict and so forth, because that may be what it looks like on the surface. And for that reason, I think it's very important for people to try to access, and I refer to a couple of sources where you can access this ninth wave, and try to access that in order to transcend, not deny the kind of injustices of the past or something like that, but not either exactly be totally dominated by taking sides, so to speak.
Yes, and what I think, Dr. Kalleman, is that people, if they could use a different frame of reference, is that, you know, a miracle is a quantum leap.
Yes.
And it's a correction at an atomic level, and it's instantaneous. So when we, if we can kind of bring our religious vernacular, if that's what we want, if that's how many people think, and instead of it having a be an anomaly, recognize that it is a correction that is needed, and it happens instantly when all the conditions are right.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that is so. Well, you know, unfortunately, believe it or not, our half hour is already gone. I want to thank you so much for taking the time. I would love to have you back again. There's so much to talk about. Again, my guest has been Dr. Carl Johan Kalaman. Please take a look at his website. And can you give me the name of your website just to make sure it's correct?
Yeah, it's CALLEMAN.com.
Kalaman. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you for all of the wisdom you bring to our world. And I look forward to staying in contact with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you.
Thank you.